Coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Hello, everybody, and happy Tuesday night. Happy strawberry moon out there to all of you astronomy buffs like myself, all of you astrology freaks. Get your crystals out. Go out and enjoy some of that beautiful full moon action, along with the fact of it being a very special moon, only coming along every now and then, much like blue moons, blood moons, those kinds of things. Tonight on the show, in the second half, after our short break, we will be talking with Jessica Gerlach. We'll be talking with Jessica about the laws of the universe. You know, those things that, you like to think that they're even bendable, but they're really not. And it's kind of funny the way that it works. We've had a couple of guests here recently talking about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, personal hypnosis, things like that. And that is a lot of what we'll be talking about and how it relates to manifestation, how these keywords like manifestation and things like that may be kind of buzzwords that, should lead you to checking out the actual 12 laws of the universe that is really the key to manifestation and understanding how your energies and how controlling your energies and how controlling yourself really affects the universe around you and paves the way for such things. So we'll be joined by Jessica Gerlach in the second half of the episode to talk about that. In the first half of the episode tonight, we will be joined by the amazing Barbara DeLong. She is a spiritual empath. You can find all of her work at barbaradelong.com. She is also, we had her on years ago whenever she released her series of cards, the Cosmic Deck of Initiation. We'll be getting into, apparently there is a new app for that, which is very exciting. In the beginning of the episode, though, we're going to talk about her book, Before Roswell, The Secret History of UFOs. Welcome back to the show, Barbara. How are you doing?
I am doing just fine. Thanks so much for inviting me. This is exciting. I haven't actually talked about Before Roswell for a couple of days.
I'm sure it's one of your more popular titles because it's a very interesting concept and something that a lot of people, even in the UFO UAP community, are not fully aware of. The fact that here in the United States, we had a good storied history of flying objects far before Roswell happened. I mean, even right here in Texas, we had two that happened, Aurora being the most famous one right up the road north of Dallas. So let's start kind of cracking the nut a little bit about what did happen before Roswell. What is some of the history of these craft in our skies before the day of modern technology, Barbara?
Well, actually, our book goes all the way back to 270,000 years B.C.
Wow.
So it does cover a great deal of time and sightings and all over the world. And I think one of the reasons that we wrote it was because I co-wrote this with Ken Godsworth, who is my publisher, and that's Dimensionful Publishing. Shameless plug. And actually, all of the material in the book, except for maybe five incidences, was gathered by my late husband, Patrick Cook. And it was on his website. When he passed away, I took those things on his website that were not in the books that he had written, and I put them on mine. And this UFO material, along with giant material, were the two areas that weren't anywhere else, so I kept them going. And I think this is a sweet book. It's not a long book.
Nope.
But it's a fascinating book, and it's incredibly sweet. And the reason that it was written is because before Roswell, sightings of UFOs were almost commonplace. Nobody got excited about them. Nobody, you know, ran looking, you know, to the hills for their shotguns. It just happened, and people saw things, and they reported them, and they got on with their life.
Yeah.
After Roswell, government stepped in, and it became, you know, there was no disclosure, there was no answers, there was no material shared with the public, and so it became more and more and more frightening. And movies came out with, you know, oh my gosh, Alien and all of that, and so that having a UFO sighting was a scary thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a normal occurrence that happens all the time. And we wanted to sort of educate the public in that so much has happened with these UFO sightings that is fascinating and interesting, but not frightening. And let's face it, if indeed there are aliens and UFOs, a UFO is an unidentified flying object. It doesn't necessarily say there's anybody inside. But
that's right.
But, you know, it's kind of like people are so now frightened of this material that they're terrified. But face it, if aliens were going to take over the planet, they would have done it thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing stopping them. I mean, we are definitely a race that can be subjugated almost immediately by, you know, by a more powerful entity and you know, a tall giant of a man or a reptilian or whatever, you know, would take over. There would be no battle. So the fact that hasn't happened and 270,000 years have passed, it would make us think that they aren't out there to frighten us. They're watching for sure.
That is a really interesting point of conversation there, Barbara, because, yeah, one would think that, A, if they were going to take over, if that was the grand plan, if, you know, they were going to enslave humanity, you'd think they'd do it before we grab up on some high technology. You would think that they'd do it before we become an interstellar race. You'd think they'd do it before we master the atom. You'd think they do it when we were much more docile than we are now, if that was the grand plan to scare us, to frighten us, and not necessarily the case.
No, and when you look at something like, is it 1946, I think, when, 1946, Admiral Byrd, prior to that, had flown into Middle Earth, theoretically.
Yes.
You can get his diary through Amazon, and it takes you through the entire experience. But when he got back from that flight, he reported what he had seen, and he was told to not speak of it and to keep his mouth shut. And yet, they put him in charge of an armada in 46 to go down to Antarctica and claim whatever was down there, and he had his ass whipped, and they came back and nothing was ever said. So it makes one wonder, what was it that attacked the ships? They lost. They absolutely lost. And nothing has ever been said about that. And so, you know, it's sort of like, did the Germans, you know, talk to the people in Middle Earth? Does Middle Earth exist? There are no fly zones in Antarctica today.
Yep.
Our ships can't fly over. There's something there, and yet nobody's talking about it.
Yeah. And you know, there was recently the huge Antarctic anomaly that just happened.
Yeah.
That nobody's really talking about. That was massive and huge. And yeah, you know, we have people like Brad Olson on talking about Antarctica and the hidden things down there and the possibilities of what might be down there. And yes, you know, for an exploratory expedition. My air quotes were up there for you listeners out there. For an exploratory expedition, they sure did send a lot of battleships and like aircraft carriers, things like that, along with Admiral Byrd. Sent him with a lot more than just like a geoscience team, you know.
He had 13 ships, 33 aircraft, 4,700 men.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a small incursion force, yeah, right. Is what that is. That is an incursion force, is what we would call that now. Like what we would go basically park off somebody's harbor so that we could flex our muscle, you know, is exactly what that is. And interesting, and, you know, to that note, Barbara, there was even the Battle of Los Angeles that happened of 3 months after Pearl Harbor, where they went crazy almost all night long, barraging something in the air.
They did, and it was very reminiscent of the Phoenix Lights.
Yes.
But when Patrick was alive and he had his podcast, Matrix Radio, we had a man on who had been a young boy at the time.
Oh, wow.
And he watched the whole thing from his bedroom window. And the next day, he and his friends went down to the beach, and they picked up fragments of whatever, and the government paid them, you know, 25 cents or 30 cents or whatever, according to the size. But and there were casualties, but the casualties were on our side because our armaments were bouncing off whatever it was and then landing in the city. And nobody has ever really explained what that was. There was recently something on, I think, Ancient Aliens, they were trying to say that, you know, they were panicking and they were fighting shadows and there was nothing. Yeah. There was something there. This kid saw something.
Well,
he saw a ship.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, especially the fact that it was the infancy of radar, you know, they didn't know this from that. And but the observers saw something, the actual observers. Who were keeping physical watch. And there is a long, once again, a long storied history. And it's interesting how, like you said, as things went on technologically, the fear began more because these things became rarer and rarer. And a lot of that, I think, is very much the same thing that we suffer from right now, Barbara. The fact that, like, we have to have designated dark sky communities. It's something that we talk about on this show regularly. I'm a backyard astronomer. I use very special precautions to be able to actively see things with my telescopes that you can't see with the naked eye because of the light pollution. We are disconnected from the world around us. We don't see things as often as people used to because, well, the night sky is actively taken away from us. We are not connected to it. We don't depend on it for farming. We don't depend on it for hunting. It's not an everyday part of life like it used to be. In the day of the airship craze, when the sun went down, unless you had a fat lamp or an oil lamp going, it's nighttime. Go to sleep.
Well, you know? And I think too, you know, it's people don't look up anymore. They're terrified that they might see something. And you know, when you think about it, Leonardo da Vinci put airships in some of his paintings. I mean, there are records. I mean, biblical records, for heaven's sakes, of wheels within the wheels.
Sure.
And I think that they have instilled such fear in the general public. That you know, they did it on purpose, because I do believe, you know, they say that Eisenhower met with somebody and made a contract with them, and they say that Wernher von Braun worked with aliens in developing a lot of the missiles and stuff like that, but it's all negative stuff, and the reality is, I don't believe it. I do believe that whoever is out there has pulled back. I even think that the Earth itself has been put kind of on, you know, on lockdown as far as being visited by other cultures, because we are so warlike. Look what we do. we have wars all over the place. But, I mean, I would say we aren't qualified to join in any family of any sort out there as a cosmic brotherhood, because we kill spiritual masters that come down to the planet. I mean, we're barbaric.
And you know, that is another thing that I bring up regularly, is if you were an alien race headed to Earth with zero idea, zero cultural reference to what humanity is, the first thing you would get is all of our radio transmissions. All of our radio transmissions from war. All of our radio transmissions from, you know, I Love Lucy, the news, things like that. Like, you would have zero frame of reference to the culture other than that. And some of that could be pretty horrifying. I would not doubt seriously if intergalactically, Barbara, we were the block in the neighborhood that people lock their doors as they go past.
Oh, I would agree. I do have a favorite piece of trivia from writing this book.
Mm.
And I've spoken of it so often, it's no longer trivia, probably. Do you happen to know who the first human to shoot down a UFO was?
Ooh, to shoot down a UFO.
Yep. 1917.
Oh. No.
It was the Red Baron.
Wow, really? Tell us a little bit about that story.
The real Red Baron, he was on some sort of a mission flying during you know, the war, and he saw this ship, and he shot it, and it literally crashed, and the pilot was able to get out and run into the woods, and when they got back to base, it was no big deal for him. You know, I shot this thing down, and there was a pilot, and he ran into the woods. And the story comes from one of the members of his crew, and it's been validated that he was, you know, the first human to shoot down a UFO.
Wow. That is absolutely incredible. And, you know, once again, going back far before 1947, you know, a good 30 years before 1947.
Yeah.
So, man.
And again, no big deal. It wasn't an airplane, but it was a saucer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he shot it down. It was in the sky. Didn't belong there. Wasn't one of his. So he shot it. I mean. And again,
well, can't blame the man. It's his job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the book is full of sweet things like that. I mean, in Aurora, Texas, you know, that ship that crashed there, and there were bodies, and the townspeople gathered the one body, and they had a funeral for it, and they buried the small person, the pilot.
Yep.
And years later, when the government wanted to exhume the body, the town wouldn't tell them where it was. They wanted him to rest in peace.
Yeah, and even now, it's the fact of the once there marker has been moved, so the actual location of the grave is not truly known anymore. And they even had some really weird stuff a year or so ago, where our very good friend Daniel Allen Jones, hey Daniel, he is writing a book on the Aurora airship case, and it's absolutely awesome. It's fantastic. And man, to know that like a year or so ago there was a huge thing with like their hall of records burned down and in the county courthouse, like all kinds of things. So yeah,
well, there's so many things, you know, in history, and the book is just a collection of all of these sightings, and I mean they're delightful, and it kind of helps to balance the scale that the UFOs have been around here for hundreds of thousands of years. They're not here to take us over, and you know, they're not here, you know, aliens and all sorts of stuff like that. I mean, you know, at this point in time, we have an invasion of aliens at our southern border. Nobody's worried about that. So I think we have to change the term. We have to call them extraterrestrials, because aliens are now what is invading us from the south.
Well, and, you know, especially earlier in the conversation, you were talking about the fact that people's fear came from the fact that it was no longer regular. This last year at MUFON Symposium, I actually had the occasion to interview Thiago Tietchi, or Tietchetti. He is the sole MUFON investigator for Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, for the capital, it was like for São Paulo. It's like, wow, one of the largest places that sightings happen, and there is a single MUFON investigator taking field cases. And I asked him if he ever got any reports from the indigenous. And he said, well, it's pretty hard because, you know, they're indigenous. They live out pretty far. It's like a day and a half long boat ride one way to come into town. And then you're not even in town. You still have to hike to get there. Uh-huh. He's like, but whenever I have gone out there because of forestry workers that have reported something or oil workers that have reported something, he's like, when I talk to them, they say, yeah, they see them, but it's nothing strange to them. They've seen them forever. They've seen them for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And like, I don't know why you're worried about them. I don't know what your problem is. These things are regular in the sky, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So for them, way out in the jungle, once again, where the sky is clear, where you don't have that interruption, and where the stars in the sky are an integral part of your life, they're an everyday occurrence.
Uh-huh. And I don't believe they mean any harm. I truly don't. And
yeah.
And I don't believe that what we see in the sky are really spaceships. I think what we're seeing are drones.
Mm.
And they may well have a mothership someplace. But I believe personally, after all these years, that they're interdimensional.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I have come to the conclusion of either that or the work of Dr. Michael Masters, who talks of them being basically like interdimensional time traveling, you know, coming back to see what we did to the earth to change it. Now, what's interesting is he is a full on anthropologist, and he's coming at it from the point of view of, look at the way that humanity has come from Cro-Magnon to the way that we are now. Increase in brain volume, lower jaw size, larger eye sockets, you know, and if you extend that out for 1,000 or so years, you come to like the tall gray situation, things like that.
Well, are you familiar with James Patterson or Peterson, who wrote Rendlesham Forest?
Yes, I am familiar with his work.
So the download that he got of the binary code basically said that, and I can't quote it exactly, but it's something about observation of the human race advancement, you know, worth investigating, and then some other stuff. I think he gave it was on the ship, or it was a download once he touched the ship that he got.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gave the latitude and longitude of a lot of the sacred spots. But what I found fascinating was it said source of origin of message 8100. In other words,
interesting.
You know, and I thought at first, isn't that great? Humanity survived that long. But then I realized that the message said observation of the human advancement, which indicates that maybe it wasn't humans that were observing us that far in the future.
Or a version of us, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, but, yeah. It's a very interesting hypothesis, and one that I think, especially with the last Grush testimony, Barbara, came truly to light as they decided to change the terminology when it came to ETs, when it came to extraterrestrials, and yes. that decision to say non-biological intelligence, you know, and it's interesting. Some of it, much like I know a lot of people in the community that are very upset with the redefinition of UFO to UAP. I think it's fantastic. That is what is allowing scientists to want to come in. The fact that you are labeling something as a phenomenon drops it directly in their bucket. Other than that, it goes into the Kleenex bucket, you know, of and I use the term Kleenex because much like Xerox. No, it's a copy machine, and there are many of them that make it, you know. There are many versions of Kleenex out there, but they all get thrown into the UFO bin.
Well, that's true.
And once they are, it's paranormal, and scientists don't want any part of that.
But when you realize that, well, you know, 270,000 years BC, they've been around. Come on, you know, if they were going to take us over or whatever, I don't know if we're some sort of a farm or what, but I don't believe that either. I think the only thing that has ever upset them has been the nuclear stuff we've got going, and they are clearly not thrilled with our nuclear capability.
Yeah,
because of course it could destroy the planet, which is a really good point. So I think that going nuclear, I don't know how that happened, but I think it shouldn't have happened. I think there's a book out there by, Charlie Pellegrino. It's called Hiroshima, The Last Train from Hiroshima. And he interviewed people who survived not only the Hiroshima, but the Nagasaki bombs.
Yeah.
And the book is a book everybody should read, because once you've read that book, you will never endorse any sort of nuclear weapon ever again.
Yeah, and even now, with the technology that we are looking at and the fact that nuclear fission or fusion is going on and happening and actively getting results from it, it's pretty phenomenal, and it's incredible to see where our technologies have come. And the things that those power, you know, once again, to put everything into the UFO bin removes phenomena and also removes the fact that a lot of these may be us, Barbara, especially nowadays, whenever you start looking at things like what we talk with Mike Turber about, where there's a patent out there right now for and it's from Lockheed Martin for a nuclear reactor that fits inside of an F-16 platform. There are infrared lasers that basically make aircraft that can travel any speed you want them to, any number of them in formation you want them to, as electronic chaff.
That's what gets to me. Every time there's a new invention, the very first thing is asked, how can we make it a weapon?
Yes.
Nuclear stuff can be used in healing cancers and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had these wonderful new technologies and could apply them to the betterment of mankind, I'm all for that. But not how many whatever megawatts,
megatons.
How many people you can wipe out. No. Use it for good, for healing, for betterment of the country. It's just unfortunate that we have become so focused on being more powerful than everybody else, so that nobody can take us over. That you know, it saddens me greatly.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because it really is probably the largest demonstration of fear out there, and it's hard to do good things in the world when you are just cycling fear into the world. And when you're just constantly afraid, you know, it's hard to do good things. It's hard to think about doing good things because you're basically an animal backed into a corner. So, yeah. And there's a lot that keeps us that way. There's a lot of modern society that keeps us that way. Everything from screen deprivation in our brain, you know, and the way that it deprives us of the real world around us, daylight, all kinds of things that really affect us in ways that we don't realize. And moving conversation real quick.
Okay.
I think because we're about halfway through, this is a good time to start kind of talking about, especially recently, you know, with the eclipse, all kinds of things. There has been a lot of fear talk in the news, Barbara. There has been a lot of negative energy put out there. And the first time I had you on was for your initiation deck, for your deck of initiation. And it's such a life-changing concept, such a great idea. Let's start talking about how these concepts can be turned around, how you can use something like this deck to start changing even the way that you think about alien life, even the way that, you know, you consider that and how to remove that fear.
Well, yeah, and the deck itself is a spiritual development tool, and it's focused on love. It's focused on the fact that we are a family of man. I wish it was not just man. I wish they were saying, you know, we're a family of humans, but I don't think that'll change at all. But the reality here is you and I cannot do anything in and of ourselves, our own lives. Yes, we have podcasts, and we do have an audience that's a lot vaster than most people, but the reality is the changes have to come from ourselves.
That's right.
And understanding within ourselves how we create our own reality by our perception of it. So it's a matter of taking care of inside of us, and then how we address others and touch others within our reality. And the more that people understand, it's not pointing fingers at government. It's taking care of your own self, of loving yourself, and learning to deal with how, on a positive level, you can change yourself and how you're addressing others and how you're living your life so that it's of a more positive nature. And then it touches thousands of people. I have fun every now and then in the grocery store looking for older people who are all by themselves rolling their carts and just telling them how pretty they look or how lovely that color is on them. Mm. And as you walk away, you can feel the glow of love that's coming back at you. And it's a matter of using that kind of energy to change your little world so that the big world eventually is going to have to follow. And it will.
Yeah.
It may take a long time, but
well,
it will.
Well, yes, exactly. It will follow. That will come to follow. And even when it comes to, once again, trying to remove the fear of the unknown, trying to remove these things from your life and trying to literally reprogram your brain to not live in that state.
Well, I think everybody has to understand. Well, they don't have to, but hopefully at some point in time, people will come to the realization that within each and every one of us is a part of the source of all creation.
Yes.
Whether you want to call it God or whatever you want to call it, but there is a connection to the source.
Yeah.
And that source is within us, but we have free will. And if we choose to work with that energy and have it generate within our within ourselves first and then in our lives, everything becomes richer. We always will have what we need, not necessarily what we want, but we'll always have what we need if that is the direction and focus we take on. And it this deck of cards, it sort of is a reminder of the fact that energy is there for us to utilize. We have free will. We can choose to use positive energy and have it in a part of our lives or not. And if not, then maybe some of our struggles and our lessons are a lot harder. But they're always going to be there. So you might as well joyfully address them and look at difficulties not as a curse, but as a challenge, because you never get anything you can't get through. I'm sorry, it never comes that way. There's always a way if you step back and take another look, because there's always alternatives. You are never left without choices. And it's up to you to make the choice as to whether you're going to be graceful and loving and kind and generous, or if you're going to be greedy and reach for power. And in some ways, that kind of an attitude builds a shell around you. And you protect yourself from people saying doing bad things to you, but you also are shutting out the love that is coming your way as well. And that's a very sad thing to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, the way I have been explaining it to people is that we are a conscious wavelength and frequency, which is attracting physical matter to be in this universe, to be in this as we are right now, because by all ninth grade science, we are 90% empty space. We are not physical things. You and I, even though you are on a different coast, Barbara, are sharing an electron shell by everything we learned in ninth grade physical science, you know? So to think of ourselves as anything except for that pure vibration that is conscious, that is part of the conscious universe, to me is silly.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're born, you have parents and teachers and all sorts of influences that cram all sorts of other ideas into your head. And it takes a while to get to the place where you can say, wait a minute, this is my choice, this is my decision.
Yeah.
I was in my late 20s when I took a look around and said, nope, there's something else out there.
Yeah.
And so for the last 60 years, I have been on this journey, this quest, this I don't know what you want to call it. But the more I learn, the more I gather, the more I learn, and the more I put out there, the more satisfying it is to just make people think. And it even if they don't agree with me, if they think and they're looking into material, my job here is done. So it's been an adventure for me, and more exciting every year that goes by. I mean, I've been retired for a long time, but I've never worked so hard in my life.
Yeah, I was going to say, you are far from retired.
Yeah, I know.
You host a radio show regularly. You've got not only the deck of initiation going on, you help co-write books. You are researching for the show constantly. And in addition to that, you are actively launching a new app for the deck of initiation, correct?
Yeah, it's going to be probably launched within the next 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how well I can do it. It is a deck of cards. It is an app. And the opportunity to put an audio with each card as to the meaning of it, on top of the fact that there is the text that they can read, was just more than I couldn't avoid doing it. So I'm in the process now of reading all of the material on every one of the cards into an MP3 that will be put into the app. So if you're lazy and want to just listen, you can listen to me reading it, or you can read along with me, or you can just read the material. It's all there. And I'm not that familiar with decks out there that are apps, but I suspect that this is a unique feature.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's not. But
well,
it's unique for me.
It's absolutely unique, and it's fantastic, and it really does. Because, you know, I'm not saying that things like tarot and you know, visionary decks and spirit guide decks, things like that are not still popular, Barbara.
Uh-huh.
But when you're talking about bringing this knowledge and bringing this concept to the younger generation and making it accessible to everybody, because not everybody's okay with walking in a New Age shop. You know?
That's true.
But having the comfort of being able to just go to the app store and get it and explore these esoteric concepts and these ideas that, much like we discuss on the show regularly, Barbara, it is your level of consent. You know, I mean, I hate making the 90s reference and belying my age of 49, but life is Fight Club, man. Like, you choose your level of involvement in this game.
All right, so you're 49?
I am.
I'll
be
80.
49 this year.
Okay, I was 80 this year.
Wow.
And it just, you're absolutely right. And the cool thing is that you know, every generation has their own tools that they use. And
yeah,
it occurred to me that, you know, for people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, Standard Tarot, a deck of cards, was something that, you know, everybody knew and everybody played with.
Yep.
But today, people are into the apps and their cell phones more than anything else. So in order to hit that generation, I had to become a part of it. And the only way I could become a part of it was to take these cards into an app.
Well, and like I was telling you earlier, I'll bring it up on my phone right now. Like I was telling you earlier, I use Galaxy Tarot. That's the one that I use, folks. Pretty cool. Got great interpretations of things, but I don't really do full readings, things like that. I use it more as a guided meditation for my day. You know, I'll pick a card. I'll look at the symbology and think about it. And as I go through my day, think about how those esoteric symbols and their meaning reflect in my daily life. You know, and I kind of use them as my moment of pause and reflection as I go through the day.
Well, I think one of the things, too, is it doesn't follow any of the traditional formats. I mean, it goes into cosmic laws and universal spirituality.
Yeah.
And it goes into some of the, it goes into the astrological signs, but not as astrology, more into what the houses stand for and getting insight for whatever you're looking for. And then it has what I call them wild cards. It's unity, duality, trinity, a couple of miracle cards, and a threshold card, which indicates crossing a bridge and having a better understanding of our transition and our place within this universe, and that we go lifetime to lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, gathering information, gathering insight. And the journey is, it's not endless, but the journey is not to return home to the source. It is to gather enough material so that at some point in time, our spirit hits a place where there is darkness and nothing, crosses into a new dimension and becomes the source of all creation for that dimension.
Yeah. And you know, that is just it. We take part in creation because we are part of the universe.
Absolutely.
We are part of that cosmic vibration. We are just as the universe was spoken into being, we speak. And that gives us a power of consent into the beautiful universal creation, capital U, beyond religion, creed, race. The unifying you.
That's why I'm so excited about the deck, because it's not religious, it's spiritual.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know, even what I love is even many of the things, like, for instance, the death card, utterly changed into a different concept. To get rid of that idea of death, you know, I mean, I was just explaining to my son the other day that we don't really die because you can't destroy energy. It only changes form. And because you are that conscious vibration, even though your vibration may change, and when your vibration gets higher and you go into that next plane, you no longer need these physical particles.
Well, I think that's the reason that we create the physical avatar wherein our spirit dwells. Our bodies are just an avatar, complicated one, but they're an avatar. And it's sort of like when growing up, you always had to have a new winter coat every winter because you have grown.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens with the spirit. Once this lifetime is over, a new avatar is created for whatever environment is appropriate for the next journey.
That I love that analogy of the winter coat, because that is absolute truth. It's the fact that we are much like many animals in the world, constantly shedding skin, constantly growing, constantly changing, until we once again shed the physicality completely.
There are things that you can't experience just in etheric form.
Yeah.
The physical of of illness, of hurt, of all of the joys of experiencing things with your eyes. I mean, we need to be in a physical form, but every lifetime does not necessarily mean that you're on a physical plane.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. And that idea of being able to be connected to that, being able to understand that, and to understand that, yes, you know, death is, it's not even a doorway, because you've decided something else. You know, you've decided to move on to a higher plane and to a vibrational state that no longer needs that.
It's a new beginning.
Yeah, yeah. So the fact
it's not an ending, it's a new beginning.
And the fact that you have obliterated the concept of the death, which, I mean, that's the concept of the death card. That is the meaning of the death card, is that something you're attached to is going to go away. It may not be bad that it goes away. It may be for the best that it goes away, you know?
Absolutely.
But depending on other things around it, stuff like that. But the fact that you have even removed that programming from the thought of death, that negative thought of it, and left nothing but the positive concept of change moving forward, positive action. That's beautiful, uh-huh. Barbara.
But you know, talk to any reader runner who goes to a psychic fair and sits down, and the death card falls, and not only does it fall, but it falls upside down.
Yeah.
That person is not going to listen to anything that is said to them. They see the death card upside down. Holy mackerel, my life is over.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's just it. We carry many, many, many misconceptions in our minds that, because of those misconceptions, lead to fear. You know, much just to loop it right back around to the conversation that we were having earlier about UFOs, UAPs, the reason why people are not looking up the way that they once did with wonderment at the sky. It's a reticent fear.
Oh, yeah. And it's sad that so much fear has been shoveled on us to that particular concept that most people don't understand it. I mean, it's got to be a little disquieting. But most people who at that moment of transition suddenly smile and they realize there's so much more out there to experience.
That's right. That's right. Now, we have you for about 5 more minutes, Barbara. How do people begin? What is their first step for transformation? What is their first step to even figuring out whether or not they need to use the cosmic deck of initiation?
Well, I think understanding the spiritual concept of this is a journey you're on. It's not a dead end, and it's not a one-shot deal. And certainly reading the definitions of all the cards keeps saying over and over again, you are a unique individual, you are perfect And this journey is important for you to learn and to grow and take every opportunity to gather stuff up, because we are magnets to the most important things that are need, that we need. They may not be what we think we need, but we are magnets for the lessons and the people who come into our lives. There's always something to be learned from everything. Nothing is meant to hurt us or to be bad. Nothing is bad. And even I would go to even the death of a child. Mm. Quite often when a child does pass over, which means they were done and they needed to go elsewhere, the parents usually, many of them, take that opportunity to help other people because of their experience, so that everybody grows and everybody is able to experience the love that is so out there all over the place. I mean, if you're open to the love and you're putting it out there, you're going to get overwhelmed by it. And that's why at 80 years old, I'm still going, because it's such a joyful experience to work with this energy. I can't imagine what my life would be without it.
80 years. The fact that you are still going with the energy and verve for this that you have, that you are still tackling and considering bringing your art and your spiritual message to people in a new and modern way. You know, the fact that you aren't stuck in old ways, just busy taking it to nothing but psychic fairs and, you know, trade shows, things like that. The fact that you are bringing it to a digital world and trying to pass this knowledge on to a new generation in a new way is absolutely beautiful, Barbara. That's amazing.
Well, it's exciting, and I think even more exciting. I mean, on my website, that's BarbaraDeLong.com, mm-hmm. there's a place with testimonials, and it's people that have used the cards or people who have gotten into the material and how it has helped their lives and helped enrich their journey through this time frame. It's embarrassing. There are so many of them, but it's so cool. You know, anytime I feel like, what the hell am I doing? I go and read them, and it's like, okay, this is why I'm here. And it's an exciting adventure. Getting into your own spirituality, experiencing what spirit will do for you if you acknowledge and work with it, is just magical. And magical things happen. And I'm not kidding. Really magical things will happen to you if you open yourself up to the potential within.
You are nowhere near wrong, Barbara. That is absolute truth. And we are all beautiful seeds of potentiality, you know, just ready to burst forth with an oak. It's absolutely awesome. I want to thank you for your time tonight. We need to have you on more regularly. I forgot how much fun it is having conversation with you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
So much for the time. Once again, let everybody know, of course it's up on screen, but let everybody out there who is listening know where they can go to get readings from you, where they can go to schedule things, where they can go for upcoming lessons, where they can go to get their copy of Before Roswell, which I'm holding in my hand, as well as the Cosmic Deck of Initiation and everything. It is time for that shameless self-promotion, Barbara.
Okay. The website is BarbaraDeLong.com. You can contact me through my website there. And it's it also has material on the Cosmic Deck and all of the exciting things that are going on. It also has a link to the YouTube channel. There are almost 1,000 YouTube shows up there.
Wow.
I'm busy, but it's a good thing, you know. No, dust does not settle here. I think that the most important part of all of this is that I'm not the only person out there with this kind of message. I'm one of many. I guess I'm a living testimony to my work. And the fact that I am so excited about sharing this information with other people has to be an indication that there's got to be something here. So if you just decide to look at it, try it on, try it out, and see what works for you, do understand that that we are magnets, and we will draw to ourselves exactly what and who we are. And if you don't like what you're seeing, that means you have to change yourself to draw better things into you.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Barbara, once again, thank you so much for your time. I will be in touch with links, all that kind of good stuff. I greatly appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk about these beautifully deep topics so frankly.
My pleasure, totally.
Well, thank you again, and we'll be in touch. You have a great evening.
You too now.
While you are online checking out all of the amazing work from Barbara DeLong, everybody, over at barbaradelong.com, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. That is where you can like, follow, subscribe, share, all that kind of good stuff. That is where you can find all of our guest videos like Barbara's embedded on curiousrealm.com/video, as well as our store. Don't forget about the Roku app. We now officially have the Curious Realm Roku app, brought to you by our friends at Always Press Record Productions. That has all of the episodes. That also has tons of binaural beat and frequency meditation music that I make. Also, curiousrealm.com/live. That is where you can go to actively watch the show live every week. You can see us right here. Like, look at that. Hey, there's the show. And it's all of a few seconds delay. You don't have to go through social media. You don't have to go through YouTube. Nothing like that. You can watch us right there on the website, everybody. It's been there the whole time. When we come back from this quick commercial break, we will be talking with our good friend, Jessica Gerlach. We will be talking with her about the laws of the universe and how you can begin to change your life and come to these points of manifestation that we were just talking about with Barbara. We'll be talking about all of that right after this.
The Curious Realm Podcast is your source for the latest and greatest news and events in the world of the paranormal, esoteric, and forbidden knowledge. And there's no better way to spark the conversation than with items from the Curious Realm store. Choose from fan favorites like hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs, and more. Buy books and items from your favorite Curious Realm guests. Get your hands on the latest gear for paranormal investigations and experiments we discuss on the show. Open your web browser and stop on by the Curious Realm store at curiousrealm.com/store to buy the latest Curious Realm wear and out-of-this-world gifts for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is curiousrealm.com/store.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back from that short commercial break. Thank you so much to all of you for staying tuned, and also thank you so much to all of our sponsors, especially WebWorks Wireless. WebWorks Wireless is your source for high-speed internet for all. No data limits, no credit checks, no throttling, no contracts. That's right, folks. I have been using WebWorks Wireless with Curious Realm since the beginning. Everything that you see streamed to our live website, all that kind of stuff, to curiousrealm.com/live. That all comes to you from WebWorks Wireless. So stop on by and check them out. If you have a camp, if you're a traveling technician like me, if you do live streaming, I have benchmarked their equipment all across the country. Anywhere I have cell phone signal, I have been able to live stream. I could quite literally live stream a Sasquatch hunt out in the middle of the woods as long as I have signal with them. So stop on by and check it out. WebWorks Wireless is the company that you want to use. Our guest in this segment is the amazing Jessica Gerlach. She is a NLP practitioner, that is neuro-linguistic programming, folks. She is also a hypnotherapist as well as a Reiki and energy worker. Welcome back to the show, our good friend Jessica Gerlach. How are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Always
good.
Always great talking with you. Your energy is that of a healer. It's so fantastic. I don't think even in the toughest of times in your life, I don't think I've ever not heard a smile on your face.
I really appreciate hearing that.
And the world has been wild and crazy over the last little bit, especially with the eclipse, all that kind of stuff. Energies have been going crazy. So before we get into your upcoming event that's going to be happening in New York, which we'll spend the last little bit of this part of the episode on, let's start talking about how you got into energy healing and into this line of work to begin with, Jessica.
So I got into the hypnotherapy first, and that was because of my father, and he's passed on now, sadly, but he did get me very interested in hypnotherapy. So he had been teaching me about it long before I started studying, and then I became certified in that, which led me to the NLP, and then I started doing the energy work, and that led me to coaching clients. So it all sort of enmeshed together at some point, and I realized the relevance of doing these combination therapies and using a combination of science and spirituality and psychology for a better outcome, you know, for my clients. So that's how it all sort of came to fruition to where we're at today.
Well, the combination therapy I find extraordinarily interesting, especially the way that they support each other. Before we get into the combination therapy, though, let's get into the exact distinction, because there's a big misconception with hypnotherapy. Number one, a lot of people truly see stage hypnosis.
Yeah.
As hypnotherapy, sadly, because there are some beautiful and amazing uses for hypnosis. There are some beautiful and amazing uses that really do help change people's lives. And sadly, most everybody is just familiar with the idea of making somebody think they're a chicken.
And forgetting a number.
Or stop smoking. Like, I'm not a smoker. Why do I need that? And what's interesting is that hypnosis kind of involves neurolinguistic programming, and neurolinguistic programming is kind of like hypnosis, and they lean on each other, but they're two different disciplines. So
they are.
Let's explore that a little bit.
So first of all, let's talk about when we're working with the subconscious mind, right? So our brain is obviously like a computer, and it operates like a computer with a system of circuits and neurotransmitters sending, you know, impulses from one part of the brain to another. So just like the brain can become rewired for negativity, we can actually rewire it for the opposite, positive life-enhancing things. Now, with hypnotherapy, we really usually would want to get to the root of, like, the why, you know, the root cause. Why did this person develop anxiety? Let's just give an example, right?
Okay.
Well, the anxiety could have come from a parent in childhood who was always on edge, always barking at them, or maybe putting them down. Self-confidence is another one, you know, people as adults going out into the world feeling very a lack of self-confidence, let's say, and that can stem back from childhood. So with hypnotherapy, we will very often take a client back in time to begin the healing there, right? So if we have childhood trauma that's causing adulthood trauma, we would want to take that client back to that childlike state and, you know, get them to relook at the situation as an empowered adult instead of a vulnerable child. So hypnotherapy is a little bit of a different process because of that. It's still a process of redirecting the neurotransmitters in the brain, so it is quite scientific. I do also combine spiritual aspects or elements into hypnotherapy if a client
desires that, and some people do. Some people just want the straight up scientific approach, and that's okay. With NLP, it's about breaking cycles without having to know the why. So you're literally, you know, a physical anchor is one example of how we might redirect the neurotransmitters in someone's brain without having to know why. We're just stopping the pattern. We're actually interrupting the pattern. So you can see why using a combination of hypnotherapy, where we're really digging deeper and working to overcome this person's belief system and combining that with breaking a pattern, how effective that can be, right?
Yeah.
So that really is the difference between hypnotherapy and NLP. The goal is the same, but the process to get there is a little bit different. Well, it's very different, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. And you know, one of them is much more passive. The other is much more active. And within NLP, you really do have to, you have to change the way the person perceives things. And really get them to understand that, you know, it's kind of that, that smiley moment from Saturday Night Live in the 90s, the self-affirmation in the mirror, you know, where it's like, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough and doggone it. People like me. And hey, if that's what it takes for you to think something positive as you walk out the door every morning, go ahead.
So,
you know,
I have something interesting to say about that. I'm big on affirmations, and I'm big
on
positive thinking. And I think that they're all a crucial part of the whole equation, especially when you're trying to redevelop your identity, you know, from especially if you're coming from a place of like insecurity or lack of confidence or any negative or lower vibrational place. And you're trying to build yourself back up. Right.
Yeah.
So those things are crucial, but I've done some really deep digging, and, you know, I probably should have done it a long time ago, and I did start. But when you really look into the 12 laws of the universe, you see that there's a lot more to it than just the law of attraction, right?
Yes.
So it's, there's more to it than just thinking good thoughts. And I'm not saying that thinking positive thoughts are not extremely beneficial, because they are. They can change your whole day just by doing that. But if you really want to heal or learn how to manifest to the fullest maximum potential, learning the 12 laws of the universe is really important, because it's going to teach you that living in integrity with what it is you're trying to accomplish is important. Giving back is important. Giving that energy back to receive, knowing that you deserve it, working with your vibration, being as healthy as possible so your channel can be as open as possible, you know, thinking positively. There's a lot involved, right? So, yeah.
No, well,
I love
And that's just it. With hypnosis, it's much more getting somebody to disarm themselves so that you can help them. Whereas NLP is getting somebody to understand that they need to change their mindset and their habit in order to change themselves.
Yes. The great thing about both is that you can actually incorporate all of those laws of the universe into hypnotherapy. And I'll give you an example, right? So when you're rewiring the brain, it's a really magnificent thing, because you can make them, you know, make a person, because they're willing, first of all, they have to be willing to believe something different. So if I take a client, you know, who wants to lose weight, up into the control room of their mind, and they get to adjust their metabolism, their energy levels, their, you know, what they like to eat, right? So healthy eating, motivation, discipline, you can actually get them to not only believe differently, but take action differently, live more in integrity or more in alignment with what it is that they're trying to accomplish. So that's why I really do love the hypnotherapy and NLP and Reiki too, because you know, using them all together, you can use all those laws of the universe to achieve those goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially once you go ahead.
Sorry, I forgot one
thing.
No
worries.
The amazing thing about the subconscious mind is that it doesn't know what's real or fake. So when you go through that process of visualization, right, and you have them feel it, because we have them focus on their senses when we're doing a session. We have them focusing on what that looks like for them, what it feels like for them, all of that, right? Yeah. That is so powerful because the subconscious mind doesn't know what's real or what's imagined. So if you can imagine it, you can
create
it.
You can make it happen.
Yeah.
And that is quite literally a turn of phrase that I use regularly, is that if I can see it, I can build it or come close. If I can see it, like close my eyes and I can see the rack of equipment, I can build that or come pretty close to it, you know.
Absolutely.
And that is a huge, important concept.
It is. It's the first step in the right direction because, of course, like I said, you know, then we're going to want to back that up with action because we can't just think and produce. I mean, I'm not saying in some cases we can't. Maybe if it aligns with all the other laws of the universe, it can happen. But it doesn't always for everyone, and that's because they may be missing some crucial steps. And action, inspired intentional action, is one of the steps.
Well, and you know, also here's the thing. We especially here in the West, you're over in Serbia, Jessica, and I'm not saying that the issues don't exist there. They do, just in different ways. We have a large gap between our understanding of need and want. You need a roof. You want a two-story house.
Yeah.
You need food. You want lobster. Like there's a difference in understanding that providing for your sustenance, providing for what you need, and then getting bountiful more is fantastic. But that want of extra and that misunderstanding of it being need does not align with those 12 laws. It does not align with the law of cause and effect. It does not align with the law of compensation. It does not align with the law of relativity or even reality or the law of rhythm, you know, for you to want things that are beyond means of not only the universe, but yourself, you know, and it's okay. Like, and I think that's a big part of the problem is that a lot of people don't understand the fact that it's okay. You know, you don't have to need those things. And it's kind of this literal consent that we put into a system, you know, that leads to kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy of disappointment. And sadly, what's horrible is that much like we discussed with our, last neuro-linguistic practitioner that we had on, these are rote things that we are brought into in society. Our parents didn't mean to bring us up in this broken way. They were broken people too. You know,
they get passed down from generation to generation.
Absolutely.
You know, until somebody decides to break the cycle, right?
Yeah.
And so it's been really, you're making some very valid points, and I'm not against people attracting abundance or working on their abundance.
Attract it. Just understand that it may take time. Like, it ain't going to happen next month. And when it doesn't, don't get disappointed.
Well, I am going to say something, and you can edit this out if you have to. Okay, good. The law of attraction is a multi-billion-dollar industry, so I
darn
can see
tootin'.
Why. Yeah, I can see why it's so pushed as an agenda, and that's exactly what it is. But
it's quite literally, you know, what Joel Osteen is teaching from stage every Sunday at church.
Okay, there you go. I don't watch a lot of him, but I have a friend who's actually friends with him.
I've known the man for years, but it's interesting to see how modern day Christianity, Creflo Dollar, him, everything else is moving to
they're all jumping
on this bandwagon that has been around there for millennia. As a matter of fact, as most of the time as Christians, you were told, don't do it.
Right. It's totally opposite now. So
don't do it.
So my issue with this is, like, to be the most ethical, you know, healer or practitioner that I can be, I can't be aware of something. I can't be aware of something that I know that there are so many missing pieces and push that out there onto my clients when I know better and it's misleading and it's not going to truly help them. Yeah. It doesn't sit right with my soul. So a lot of people get offended if I speak out against the law of attraction. Like, well, if you were just to think positive, then, you know, your whole life would be different. Well, I am a very positive person, but I'll tell you something about toxic positivity too, because that's gotten me in a lot of trouble. Mm. So there's got to be a balance. The world is full of duality. It is one of the laws. I mean, we can't expect things to always be perfect. And it's about how we respond to that or the lessons we take from these things, right?
So absolutely.
But the law of attraction, yes, it's very important, but it's only a small part of the equation. And that's where I feel like a lot of people are being misled.
Yes.
And there's a lot of money being generated with that misleading information. And you know me, if it doesn't feel right with my soul, I have to put out a truth, I'm going to do it even if there's backlash.
That's right. And that's why I love you, Jessica, is because as a healer, you have to be whole. It's no different than a doctor that just says, oh, so you're hurting? Fantastic. Here's some oxys.
Totally.
No different.
You know?
No different. And no different than a therapist that's just going to medicate you instead of giving you what you need, giving you the tools in the toolbox that you need to get the job done. You know, and that's what the law of these 12 laws of the universe are. They are all different tools in the toolbox. And yes, some of them, interestingly enough, we are born into with rote habit. You know, one of the things we discuss regularly on the show, Jessica, is beautifully and sadly, our brains are wired for negativity.
Unfortunately, that is true. And the reason for that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The reason for that is because it's for our survival. So it's always there to protect us, you know?
Right.
And if we have a computer program that's always there trying to protect us, and by the way, it's always trying to prove to itself that its program is true, it will actually have us seeking out situations that are going to teach us lessons.
To test the proof.
To test
literally
the program.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I told you I was right, you know?
Yeah. Well, no. And that it's interesting because, yes, this is where that switch in your mind has to happen, folks, is that the more you understand that, the more your brain is willing to prove it, which means the more it's going to happen. Like, it's interesting because, yes, it does become the opposite self-fulfilling prophecy instead of the negativity continuing, because you're now looking for these opportunities to do something good, to be something good. They pop up a lot more because now you're actively looking for them, whereas before you weren't.
Right.
You know, the challenge is now you have to test that hypothesis. And that's why they're popping up, is so your brain can test the program.
Definitely. That's definitely what happens. And especially if we have any traumatic experiences from the past, if we even sense anything that even is remotely similar or triggers us, we're going to relive that emotionally.
That's right.
Almost as if we are reliving the traumatic thing of the past, which is why it's so important to do the healing work.
Yeah.
And healing really is a never ending process. It's another reason why toxic positivity and spiritual bypassing have become really important topics for me lately as well, because I want to do my best to serve my clients, you know, the best way that I can. And there's a lot of spiritual bypassing that goes on, like, you know, love and light only and all of these groups. And I'm a big fan of spirituality, as you know, but
yeah.
I feel like it also has to come with discernment and
yes.
ignoring your dark feelings or your negative feelings or anything lower vibrational or grief or heartbreak or sadness or depression or anxiety.
Yeah.
Like pretending it's not there is not the way
yeah.
to fix it, because
yeah.
you actually have to ask yourself and figure out why you're feeling that way and what are the lessons that it's trying to teach you. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to change because it's not serving you, and that's why you're depressed or
mm-hmm.
you're anxious, because, you know, you don't take your time to think about things thoroughly before you make rash decisions. I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah.
But the whole spiritual bypassing thing really bothers me, because it's like you can't positively think your way through trauma. It doesn't work like that.
No. And there's a big harsh turn of phrase, especially here in the States. You know, thoughts and prayers don't cure everything. That whole idea.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a situation where, yes, the support from people helps. Absolutely. However,
yeah.
this is a you situation. And it's a situation that, yes, you, and as an anxiety sufferer, it's something that, and even as an anxiety sufferer and an addict, it's two things that I have to be careful of all the time. And it took a while for my wife to understand that I can forgive myself. I can't forget.
Oh, I thought that exact thing yesterday. I can't believe you just said that.
If I forget, I am loathe to repeat it.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's okay. It's okay to remember
it.
How you got in that situation. It's
yeah.
okay to remember that, like, hey, man, this stinking thinking is what got me into that situation to begin with. So I need to recognize the stinking thinking when it happens and head it off at
yes.
the pass. It's about recognizing it and accepting it for what it is, prima facie, and not digging
yes.
the hole deeper because of it.
Absolutely. I actually have someone, one of my speakers at the event, who was an addict, and he's going to be talking a lot about this, right?
Mm.
So I'm very excited to have him on, because I feel like it's such a huge part of the world.
It is.
We have so, yeah, because escapism is almost, what's the word?
It's addictive.
It's acceptable.
It's addictive.
Yeah, it's socially acceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally like, go out every weekend, get smashed because you don't
mm-hmm.
have to work, and then like go back to work Monday to Friday. It's that whole, you know,
yeah.
it really is a toxic system,
yeah.
you know. And I'm not saying that
the Margarita Wednesday and happy hour and yeah,
right. And I know for me that when I'm in toxic situations, that's when I'm the most susceptible to drink more. Or to drink too much, whatever.
Sure.
And if I subject myself to certain things, I could fall back into those patterns. And I have in the past.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm super discerning of the energy and the people that I allow close to me now, because
yes. Same.
I
Same.
Have to be, 'cause I know my weaknesses, and if obviously I can handle the typical stress of life and,
yeah.
You know, the regular things that come along with life, but if it's like abuse or, anything that's extreme, I can really go to a dark place because, you know, I have a history of it.
Yeah.
So it's a really, really bad environment for me to be around. Well, so I avoid those type of environments.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. But that's just it. It's that nosum nostrae, that idea of know yourself. You know, and if you don't know yourself, and for those of you that are Christian out there, for those of you that are Catholic, all that kind of stuff, it's that near occasion of sin that is mm-hmm. that is mentioned in that Lord's Prayer. You know, that near occasion of sin, that idea of like putting yourself in the situation that you know may be a problem. You know, and we do it so easily. We do it so readily. You are very much like me, Jessica, in that your energy is huge and you want nothing more than to give it to people to help them. But that can be a problem. That can be a real problem.
It has been, and it can be hard
not to make people projects. It can be hard. No. It can be hard not to get disappointed when they don't get the lesson you're trying to explain and they keep making the same, no different than it hurts a parent to see their kid banging their head against the wall, making the same mistake in life and knowing Absolutely. That you can't make that decision for them.
Right.
You know, and that becomes hurtful, and that in and of itself can lead to dark places. That in and of itself can, and all of these things are consistent loops. You know, it's that old 80s commercial of, you know, I work harder so I can make more money, so I can get more cocaine, so I can work harder, so I can make more money,
right.
so I can get more cocaine, so I can work harder. but that's what our brain does. It goes into this state of depression, let's say. And from there, it goes into, well, look at you here in this state of depression. Don't you deserve this? It's so hard to not listen to that negative inner voice that pops up sometimes. When it does pop up, and sadly, Jessica, for some people, it pops up very, very regularly.
Definitely, and I think having this lead to a lot. Yeah, I think the most important thing is having the tools to know how to pull yourself out of a dark place before it spirals.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm going to sort of quote Dr. Romani. She's like the world's leading narcissism expert, and she's absolutely amazing. And she talks about how, you know, yeah, it is the most important thing that you can do is to remove yourself from like a toxic situation. And have these, you know, healthy, positive tools to work through trauma. But that's, you know, not everybody can get away from that so quickly. We have people who are, you know, I've had clients even, and I've experienced some of these things myself, but I have clients who have children and, you know, they're in court and their ex-spouse is bleeding them dry financially by just bringing them to court for any reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so they're in this toxic loop and they really can't get out of it. And she considers this to be a privileged mindset when people say, well, why doesn't she just leave? Well, because she'll be homeless, or well, because she could possibly lose her children because her husband can prove that he makes more money. There's so many reasons why people can't always just leave, right? So that is a very privileged mindset. And I think that's so important to recognize that not everybody can escape their circumstances, or not right away. It may take time, a long time in some cases, unfortunately. And I'm just being realistic, you know?
No, that is absolute truth. Because That is coming at it from a point of empathy or sympathy, not empathy, rather, to say, why don't you just leave? Well, you feel sorry for somebody, and that's awesome. But to understand that person is in that situation, and once again, like you said, may not be able to just up and leave, may not be of means to up and leave. It may be the fact that hubby controls the bank accounts.
Right.
You know, and hey, I've seen this on the opposite end with guys going through it, you know, and trying to get custody and visitation of their children and things like that, you know, mm-hmm. and it's hard and it's not easy. And the abuse goes both ways in many relationships, and it's horrifying. And definitely. Yes, much like any addict, Jessica, it's the fact of realizing that you are the one that needs to change something.
Definitely.
And from there, small moves can be made. Small things can happen. But rarely, like you said, is it a situation where you can just pack a bag in the middle of the night and walk off.
Yeah, that's like
and be
the
done
most
with
rare
it. Because,
of,
yeah. Well, the problem is you can do that. And I had a friend in life who did that. Love him, Jessica. But it was overwhelming. It was hard for him at one point. Wife, 3 kids. He left a note and he left.
Wow.
Now what you get from that is law of cause and effect.
Right.
That has led to a lot of things in his life. That's led to a lot of things in the relationship with his children, who he is, of course, trying to rekindle later in life. You know, things like that. So it leads to all kinds of things. And while it may be a temporary solution to a really hard problem, it's not a well thought out solution to the problem. And it's not one that immediately helps anybody's situation.
Absolutely. It can require planning, proper planning.
Yeah.
You know, making sure you're set up. And like, so I had a coaching client who was in a narcissistically abusive relationship for 30 plus years. I don't want to give obviously too much information away, obviously, but I'll just give you the gist. I mean, I did a lot of really great work with this woman, and she made a lot of really great progress. But every time her husband would come back home from his work trips, she would go right back to where she started, because she was still in the toxic environment that was making her sick.
Yeah.
So I had to tell her, like, you know, this work that we do together, you know, it can really continue to be beneficial to you. But if you keep opening that wound by exposing yourself to this, like, eventually you're going to need a solid plan, you know. And
yeah,
it was a messy situation. But
well,
so it's not a one size fits all. And that's what people don't understand. They're like, oh, you just have to forgive and then everything will be fine. Like, that's toxic bypassing.
Yes.
No, forgiveness is not a prerequisite to healing. Healing is an inside personal journey. It's an inside job. And if it's not in alignment with your integrity to forgive someone who's absolutely destroyed your life, or is still destroying your life, and you're still trying to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
Forgiving them is not a prerequisite for you to heal. You can heal on your own.
That's right. That's right. And that's just it. You don't have to immediately forgive somebody who has beaten you or emotionally abused you or led you down a road of addiction or anything like that. What you have to do is you have to do
right.
You.
And
because it's the only thing you have control of. You have no control over anybody else's decisions.
No. Right. So I think that if you can forgive, it's much better for you.
Sure.
It is. And I think that it's a beautiful thing. And I've forgiven a lot of different violations, crimes, whatever you want to call them. Because I do have a lot of deep empathy for people's traumas, and I do understand that hurt people, but there are other people who are just simply malicious, and they go around destroying other people. And I can understand and respect when a client tells me, like, I cannot forgive this person. I'm not ready to. Okay. I respect that. Forgiveness has done wonders for me personally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that if it can be done, then it's better for you. That's the best way I can describe it.
Because
you're not carrying any sort of like burden, but not everybody feels the same way about it. And I think that we need to respect each person's individual journey, especially when it comes to healing from trauma.
Well, and especially in understanding the fact that that forgiveness comes at a different point for everybody.
Totally. You know, and sometimes it never does.
That's right. It may never come. People. It may never come. You know, but that doesn't mean that they can't be a whole person. That doesn't mean that they can't be a right person. That doesn't mean that they can't do good in the universe or that they're broken.
Or that they're damaged or that they can't heal. Of course they can heal, you know, like Dr. Romney, she actually did make a point about that. I absolutely adore her. This is why I really love to combine psychology, spirituality, and science, because I think they're all crucial elements when it comes to healing, and especially the empathy aspect of it. But she made a point. What was it? I forget what I was going to say.
to immediately forgive. Go ahead.
Yeah, she said that, you know, forgiving someone for doing something like, you know, really awful or whatever. She specifically said for her own situation, like, I don't forgive them. They did it to me on purpose and they tried to destroy me and they haven't changed, and forgiving them insults my integrity. And I was like, wow, I've never really heard that perspective before.
Absolutely.
And when you're insulting your own integrity at the expense of thinking
to make the other person or other people feel good.
Right. And she was like, you know what? I sleep great at night.
That's right.
I was like, all right, girl.
Probably sleeps like an angel because she's good with that. Mm-hmm. You know, and
she's
also a
psychologist who is the world's leading expert in narcissism. So she really does know what she's talking about.
Yeah. And it's the fact of, you know, once again, you would be emotionally short circuiting yourself.
That's right.
You would be accepting for the sake of acceptance. And once again, nullifying who you are, what you stand for, and what you believe in.
Definitely. And that is a form of spiritual bypassing.
Yeah,
for sure.
That is a betrayal of oneself and their integrity, as she said. Chris,
you just hit it on the head, a betrayal of oneself. Because I know for me, I can forgive a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I am a very forgiving person. But when I think of certain things that could be done to somebody I love or me, maybe I would not be forgiving. I'll just leave it there. Okay?
Well, and that's just it. You know, once again, but I can forgive. It's the forgetting. Because if I forget, then I'm loath to repeat it.
Exactly.
And I can forgive myself for the things that I did that were uncharacteristic of me, that were not me, that were at times of human weakness. You know, I can forgive. I can forgive anybody of that because I've been through it. However, am I going to forget that they did it? Probably not. Otherwise, it may happen to me again.
Right, because your discernment would be down.
That would be insulting to my gift of discernment to forget it.
I agree.
Because I figured it out. Like, I figured out what the root cause of the situation was. So if I forget it, like, what was the point in the exercise of learning it to begin with?
Right. You were meant to learn a lesson. I mean, I do feel like we're meant to take lessons from negative experiences, you know, and if you're not, then, you know, you're going to be repeating that lesson over and over and over again. Unfortunately, that's just the way that I've seen it play out. And, you know, it's sort of a known thing. But I think that the fact that we are intelligent beings and conscious beings, that we have the ability to learn lessons and discern and grow and evolve. If we stay in this toxic positivity where it's like, oh, he's not going to do it again, she's not going to do it again, we can really be putting ourselves in a massive amount of danger.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
we have to be positive, because that's who you are. That's how you really feel. Like, I've always been a very positive person. And my mother used to tell me as a kid, like, you can't trust everybody. And I really didn't get it. Like, I just loved everyone. I just wanted to love everyone. I did believe everybody was good.
Until
I got slapped in the face a few times and I had a reality check and I was like, oh, damn,
yeah.
There's some bad people out here.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I didn't have that, like, inner protective mechanism for myself, but it's something that I've had to acquire over time. And even up until recently, I've realized that being overly positive can be damaging. So yes, be positive because it feels good, because that's your natural instinct, or it's innate for you, right? But
yeah.
Also be discerning, like use your intellect, use your logic. We were given all of these gifts, not just one.
That's right. And be willing to call a spade a spade. Just, hey,
yeah.
Like be willing to call something out when it happens, even when it's your own actions. Because if you don't, then you aren't realizing it and you can't fix it. So
definitely.
Call out your own errors just as louder than you call out other people's.
Absolutely.
You know,
accountability
that,
is really, really important, especially when it comes to like when we're trying to grow, change,
yeah.
evolve, or just become better versions of ourselves, right?
Yep.
So I think that's important. And that goes back to knowing what type of energy that you will or won't accept around you, because you know that, you know, this is not healthy for me. This could affect my mental health or whatever.
That's right.
Very, very important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you'd be surprised what that honesty does, not only to yourself, but to others around you, whenever you let them know, like, yeah, I'm sorry, man, I can't do that. That's like, sorry.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised the reactions from people that you've known for years, you know. And I personally know a couple of people in different communities right now, Jessica, where it's the fact of people that they have known for years and years are now 180 degrees and against them. And it's like, I even had a listener who not too long ago tuned into a show and took the time to email me and tell me that she would never listen to the show again. And
what?
That she hoped that her daughter never found the show. And Jessica, you've been with me for a long time. You go back to the Dudes and Beer days. She's been listening since she referenced stuff that was like in episode 200 something of Dudes and Beer. So she listened for a couple years before Dudes and Beer ended. And this was about whether or not aliens built the pyramids.
Are you kidding me?
And I say it pretty regularly, you know, that like I think that we are discounting the ingenuity of humanity. We are ingenious people, tribal or not. We are like Archimedes knew a lot of this stuff, man. Like he lived thousands of years ago and barely had a round wheel to push things with. You
of
know,
course.
Like,
yeah.
Like to say that we didn't have the knowledge is insulting to our knowledge, quite literally. and because of that, and it bugged me for a little while and I had to let it go. I didn't respond to it, but it was because it's one of those like, wow, at what point did my stance change? My stance has never changed ever.
Right.
So, you know, it was interesting and a real exercise of me to let something go and not to doggedly chase the negativity for no good reason.
Right.
I'm sorry I lost you as a listener out there. Listener, I love you. I forgive you and I'll forget, you know, because I did nothing. I'm just doing my show the way I've always done it. And it's sad to hear somebody go, but at the same time, it's like you have to stay your course and you have to be integrous to who you are and to what you believe, you know.
Of course.
And
start molding yourself differently for other people's sensitivities or triggers and this and that, and then you lose your authenticity. That's the worst thing that can happen.
Exactly.
And not only that, that brings me to another point.
Please.
Okay. Something I really wanted to talk about, because I feel like it's also very misleading. People really seem to think that, you know, they only attract what they already are. This is not always true.
Absolutely.
A lot of people attract the opposite of what they are. And that's because predators or people who are, you know, have certain personality disorders, they do target people who have the opposite qualities because they want to benefit from those qualities. So this is also a very misleading concept. Do I think that we have the ability to attract certain things to us with our intentions, our beliefs, our actions, our focus, and, you know, all of the other things that come with the 12 laws of the universe? Yes, I do. But we also need to understand that other people are attracted to us who may be on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And I think it's very victim blaming to say, well, you know, you must have, okay, for example, this is why it brought me to this point. You have done nothing different on your show for all these years. Like your stances have been, you know, the same and your whole approach has been, you've been you the whole time.
Yeah.
Nothing changed in you. Something changed in her. You didn't attract her to change because you stayed the same. You stayed in the same vibration. You stayed in alignment with who you are. You stayed in your authenticity. She changed up. That shows me that we don't always, we don't control other people. We don't control everything around us. The laws of the universe do. And yes, we can get really far with working with our vibration, with healing, with trauma release. We could do so much with that. But we also can't always expect to have the perfect dream life situation because it's not always realistic and we don't always, you know,
it's very
victim blaming to say like, it's your fault. You attracted it.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, the F I didn't. Well, that's not what I wanted.
No, precisely. And also the fact of, you know, we have this want of control. Jessica,
my
want over the last decade of my life has been to evacuate control from my life as much as possible. My wife likes to drive. You feel free to drive. Like,
great.
I will utterly relinquish that control. Why do I have the want of that control? Why do I have the want of the need to drive?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you have to explore is that I can't change my wife. I can't change my kid, but I can change me. And I akin the world and my relationship to it very much to my industry, Jessica, to all these things, all these pieces of electronics that my viewers see behind me every week. I sit in a tech booth and I control a world that is 150 feet away from me from that tech booth. If I am not master of everything in that tech booth, none of the rest of that world works right. None of it.
Wow.
None of it. I have to know everything that's happening in that tech booth. I have to be intimately aware of every nuance that's happening in that tech booth. I have to be in control of nothing but that tech booth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to control other people. You have to control you.
I totally agree.
The world is not responsible for your triggers. You are.
Right. And also, like, when it comes to manifestation, like, people really think, like, that, you know, they can, unless you're doing, like, some kind of dark magic, which I'm totally against.
Absolutely.
Maybe then you can have some influence, but not always, because sometimes that backfires.
Have fun with the law of cause and effect, you know?
What you put out, you're going to get it back.
I say it all the time. There was I'm not a Trump fan. Sorry if I just lost a bunch of other listeners. however, I found it hilarious that there was a group of, there was a coven of witches who literally before the election of Donald Trump got together across the country to mass cast a spell for him to lose the election.
I'm not surprised. The black magic is all over.
So wait a minute.
Okay.
You just all got together to perform a ritual against somebody against the will of other people. Right. And you wonder why that maybe went horribly awry. And he actively got elected.
Because
and then you went and did it again later and wondered why January 6th happened, like right after. Like the exact same coven of witches got together to put a hex on him shortly before that. So it's
there's so much black magic happening in the world. And
yes.
Yeah. And it backfires. And you know what? Like that's a whole other podcast we can do on, actually.
It's something that we bring up regularly, though, Jessica, is that by most ancient traditions, especially whenever you start getting into Kabbalah, especially whenever you start getting into mystic Judaism, and the idea that we uniquely were breathed into by the creator who spoke the creation into being, we create with our words, which is why, you know, going up, I could go up, I could punch my buddy in the gut and be like, what's up, guy? You know, and it wouldn't hurt nearly as much as if I came up and said something about his wife. That's something that'll stick in his craw and may even come to a point of ending a relationship because of some words that I said.
Yeah, you know? Spelling, putting spells out there. Spelling. Yeah.
No, and that's just it. We are weirding constantly with our words. And the day you become aware of that, people, the day you become aware of the fact of you are responsible for the energy you drag into a room and you're responsible for the energy that you leave the room with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leave in the room when you leave.
Definitely. I think that, like you said before, we can control ourselves. Trying to bend other people's free will for me is completely unacceptable.
Yes.
Even if I do protection manifestations, I always say, like for a client, if they're feeling in a really weak place and they just want to feel protected, I will do like a ceremony for them to, you know, for their protection. It's all very positive. It's angels, it's spirit guides, it's ancestors, it's God, it's Jesus, whatever they believe in, I call them in for protection. And I always, always say, for the highest good of all. It's never to bend free will. It's never, ever to hurt anyone. You know, I think that I really, truly do believe that those things do backfire. I think it's important to live in alignment with, you know, your own integrity, like we were saying before. Yeah. Not everybody has the same level of that. And I do understand some people who have had some really bad things done to them and they really do want revenge. I personally don't have that in me. I'd rather have peace.
I grasp the concept and the want, Jessica, like as a human being, I grasp it. I get it. It's not what I want, but I can understand where they would want their justice in that way. You know, if that's what they see as justice. Yeah. And that's the thing, though, is that we regularly, even whenever you were talking about victim blaming, things like that, it's the idea of we come to people with our expectation instead of meeting them where they are.
Right.
You know, and then when they don't meet up to our expectation, they're the ones with the problem. When we're the ones who had the expectation to begin with.
True. Very true. There's also people who, you know, pretend to be one way for a very long time. And all of a sudden there's a switch in their personality.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's you have somebody saying, well, what changed in you? Like, why are you looking at me instead of the person who went crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
instead of the person
who
switch flipped.
I don't know what happened to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. Well, we have you for about another 3 or 4 minutes. In that time, let's talk about your upcoming event, because you have an amazing event coming up in New York with all kinds of healers, all kinds of speakers. Let's get into that real quick.
So in a nutshell, since we only have a couple of minutes, it's a body, mind, and soul event. It's a holistic wellness event, and I have some great people on board. I have Jenna Bradshaw. She's a holistic health and wellness expert and coach. She has the Holistic Human Performance podcast. She's a 2-time cancer survivor, an author, a speaker, and she does crystal sound bowl healing, which she'll be doing at the event. So I'm super, super stoked, excited for that. You can get tickets, by the way, on Eventbrite. It's a small gathering. It's about 50 people. And it's going to be May 11th in Beacon, New York. I want to mention a couple more people real quick. Some of these people are my clients for a really long time, and they've become my friends. And they're also in the field of holistic wellness. So we have Jacqueline Kiernan. She's a registered dietitian nutritionist. Okay. A Reiki master teacher, integrative energy therapy. She does that as well. And like me, she combines science and spirituality to help women with thyroid issues and autoimmune disease. So she's really amazing. She's the founder of the Autoimmune Revolution. Another really great friend of mine, Jonna Berman. She's a psychotherapist, but she's a holistic wellness psychotherapist. So her approach is in alignment with everything that we're doing. She'll be there speaking as well. I'll be there, of course, speaking about psychology, spirituality, and science, and the trifecta method, the 12 laws of the universe, and how to use them for healing, for manifestation. I will definitely be doing a lot of talking about the subconscious mind. And we also have Brian Priest coming on to talk about how he overcame addiction and his path now to help other people to live their best lives and overcome their traumas. So yeah, I think it's going to be a really great evening and a really great group of people and very vibey, very relaxed. I can't wait for the sound bowl, the crystal sound bowl healing. It'll be my first time actually experiencing that in person.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's an experience, that's for certain. So I hope that event goes very, very well for you.
Thank you.
You bet.
We'll have some vendors there too. I just want to mention real quick that a lot of these people, they make their own products as well as I do. Cool. My sister, Michelle Gerlach, she makes a really amazing like healing balm. It's all natural. And we have some other vendors there too who will be selling their stuff. So just a little add-on.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Jessica, as always, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure talking with you. I always feel uplifted after our conversations. You have some of the best energy around and really just try to help the world be a better place. So thank you for everything that you do out there.
I appreciate you. Likewise. Thank you so much for having me back on. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Hold the line real quick while we close things out with the audience. While you are online, registering yourself for that amazing event with Jessica Gerlach coming up in New York, in Beehive, New York, or Beacon, New York, rather. Stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is where you can find all the episodes, folks. That's where you can like, follow, subscribe, share, comment, everything else. We have tons of platforms there that we are carried on. Also, make sure to check out the live page every Tuesday. We are live not only on Facebook and YouTube, but also on CuriousRealm.com/live. We also have the store. And do not forget, if you are a Roku user, stop on by and download the all-new Curious Realm Roku app brought to you by our friends at Always Press Record Productions. They will give you everything. That app gives you not only all of the episodes, but it gives you hours of free, that is absolutely free, binaural beat and frequency meditation music made by yours truly. So stop on by, download that, enjoy, folks. Remember, you are the world. You're the change. We are the catalyst, everybody, whenever you're talking about the alchemy of the universe. So take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Remember, it's your open minds, your open hearts that change the world around us. Stay curious, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. To download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault, or become a sponsor of Curious Realm, visit our website at CuriousRealm.com. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast and video services, as well as KPNL Radio, APR TV, and the Curious Realm app for Roku devices. Curious Realm is a proud member of the Ground Zero Media and Aftermath Media family of podcasts. For more great shows and members-only content, visit groundzeromedia.org and aftermathmedia.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.